In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the nobleman who came to see Jesus was a government official, and he probably held some high position in Herod's court. His experience in meeting Christ reveals to us some of the various stages of faith. And as we reflect on this account in the gospel, we can discern five distinct stages or characteristics of faith. First, there's the newborn faith, the faith as it first stirs in your heart. Second, there's a persistent faith, a faith that doesn't lose heart but continues. Third, there's a trusting and obedient faith. Fourth, there's a proven faith. And fifth, there's faith that produces fruit. So the first stage, newborn faith. This is when you initially encounter Christ. And you believe for the first moment that Christ is the Son of God. The action of this nobleman demonstrate exactly what is involved in the newborn faith. That was brought about by this man's desperate need. You see, often our newborn faith is a realization that we need Christ. Unfortunately for many, it usually takes this desperate need to truly bring us to Christ, to bring us to conversion. These needs may be an accident has happened, or it may be that there's an illness in the family, or disease, or suffering, or even death. Some may come to the Lord just by recognizing within themselves a desperate need for Christ. At some point, they may experience a certain illumination and they look inside and they see the desperate need of their soul, where their soul is dark and empty. And they say, I need Christ. It is these desperate needs that fuel that initial spark of newborn faith. So for this man, there was certainly a hearing about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was there preaching and healing. He knew. He had heard the reports. And so the man said, my son is dying. I have to see Jesus. I have to go to him. Now notice this. This man was probably in good with Herod. He worked probably in Herod's court. But he didn't go to Herod, the most powerful man in Israel. He went out to see the prophet. He went to the one they called the prophet. But he was going to see the Son of God. He had to leave the side of his dying son. Imagine that. He's going 20 miles away, on foot. His son is dying. He has to make the choice. Am I going to be with my son as he leaves this life, or am I going to risk it all and go to find this Jesus? And he risked everything. And he traveled about a day's journey. It took him about a day to go from Cana, where he lived, to Capernaum, where Jesus was preaching. Can you imagine the agony, the anguish that he felt along the way, not knowing with each step that he took whether or not his son was still alive? Faith. Also, the man had to have thought, what will others think about me? I'm a nobleman. I work in the court of the king. And I'm chasing after this man that some people call a lunatic. What are other people going to think about me? But he humbled himself and said, I will accept his teaching. I will accept if he will heal my son. I will believe. Brothers and sisters, what are we willing to leave behind for Christ? Are we willing to travel the narrow road to get to him? Are we humble enough to recognize our true need for our Savior? The second stage, persistence. Your faith must be persistent. We must understand that at that time, many people were coming to see Jesus. They wanted to see miracles, wonders, amazement. Jesus was creating a stir. But not everyone coming to see Jesus was coming to get closer to God. Many of them were coming for the entertainment value. And so Jesus speaks these words that seem to be a rebuke, a rejection of this man. He says, oh, you foolish people, you seek a sign. You just want to see a sign. You want to see a miracle. Indeed, brothers and sisters, many of the miracles that Jesus performed did bring people to believe in him. They had their role. But our Lord seems to disdain this type of belief that is founded on signs and wonders. Now, why does he do this? If they cause people to believe, why is he rejecting belief that's founded in a sign or a miracle? One, he knows that the evil one can imitate, can counterfeit his miracles. And he doesn't want his people to believe in him because of the miracles, because if someone else comes later, they may steal them away if they too can perform the same signs that he did. So he's leery of what the evil one can do. Second, he does not want us to be passive spectators. He doesn't want us sitting there watching the show. He wants us to actively participate in his divine life. Third, faith in signs and miracles is a weak faith. And when the signs and miracles don't happen, we lose heart and we fall away. It's like when you first encounter your first love and there's sparks and romance and fireworks. And then at some point you realize we're really not compatible. Those sparks and fireworks don't last forever. And when they're gone, that's when the true test of compatibility comes in. He doesn't want our faith based on sparks and fireworks and signs. He wants our faith based on a true belief in him as the Son of God. This nobleman was desperate. A severe disaster was happening. His son was dying. He believed that Jesus was the only one who could help him, and he was determined. And so he begged our Lord, "Lord, come with me to my home, or my child will die." This was the man's response. And so the third stage of faith, trust and obey. Trust and obey. Jesus granted the nobleman's request, but he did not go with him. Now see, here's something. The nobleman came asking for a miracle, but under the circumstances, the nobleman couldn't witness the miracle take place. His son wasn't there. And so this forced him to trust in Christ's words and to obediently begin his journey back home. If he refused to go back home without taking Jesus with him, it would show that he did not believe in Jesus' word. But if he obeyed Jesus, he would be returning to his dying son with absolutely no assurance that his son would recover. And so he was forced to make this difficult choice between insisting on the evidence or exercising faith without any tangible proof that his son would live. In obedience, he set out, and by his obedience, he professed that faith of obedience and trust. Eternal salvation is what we are seeking. Our faith must lead us to trust and obey Christ. Our Lord tells us, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." The fourth stage was proof of faith, proven faith. Many years ago, there was a man whose wife was dying from cancer. The doctor gave her only weeks to live. The man turned to God for the first time in many years and began to pray every day that God would heal his wife. A young doctor visited his wife's room some days later and told the man that there was an experimental treatment that he recommended. So the wife and the husband talked about it. They agreed. And sure enough, the woman recovered. But the man did not give credit to God. The man gave credit to the experimental treatment. His faith was not proven. As it turned out, the experimental treatment didn't work. None of the other patients who took it were cured, and eventually the company that was trying to market the drug pulled it from the market as ineffective. His wife's cure was miraculous, but he had not given God credit until many years later when he discovered the truth of the experimental treatment. His faith was not proven. On the way back home, however, this man was greeted by his servants running to tell him his son had recovered. And he asked them, "What time did he recover?" And the response coincided with the exact time that our Lord said, "Your son will live." His faith was proven. The final stage of our faith is our faith must produce fruit. Scripture tells us that the man was saved and his whole household with him. His faith sprang up from within him and spilled over to his whole household. Our faith must enliven us. It must set us afire so that all those around us can see our love for him who died for us. This is faith that produces fruit. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord help us as we pray the prayer of the Gospels, the prayer of that other official who came to him and said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.